You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I was told this past Sunday by somebody who was also involved in this matter that if I went public this information, it would bury all of us, man. The Bidens included. I have no wish to bury anyone. I've never been political. The few contributions I have made have been to Democrats. But what I am is a patriot and a veteran. To protect my family name and my business reputation, I need to ensure that the true facts are out there.
This is October 23rd, 2020. That is a former Biden insider, Tony Bobulinski, who's come forward and said, I have documentation. Documentation that Joe Biden was not only just aware that Hunter Biden was doing business deals while Joe was vice president, but also Joe Biden was going to be getting a cut of the money. Bobulinski held this news conference, showed a couple of phones, he said. I've got emails on both of these. No one has touched these phones but me. I've had full control of them all the time. And I'm going to share and dump everything out for everyone to see. And the FBI is, of course, one of the recipients. The FBI is now acknowledging that it has asked Tony Bobulinski to sit for an interview, asking him to give more details. But of course, when it comes to asking the FBI, what exactly will you ask? What are you going to do with it? They're sticking to their standard, which I understand. We don't discuss stories we're investigating. We don't discuss stories we're not investigating. It always works for them, and it works again here. But the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee and the Senate Finance Committee are also investigating Hunter Biden's business dealings. And they were to interview Bobulinski this morning, but that's been postponed after he made his announcement last night in advance of the debate. And, of course, President Trump had invited Bobulinski to come be there for the debate. He was. And obviously Joe Biden knew he was there. The debate itself last night. Well, the moderator did a better job than anyone else has, but it's a low bar to be a good moderator from what we've seen. And to her credit, she asked one of the questions, regarding Joe Biden's knowledge of Hunter Biden's Ukraine dealings, Russian dealings, China dealings, but she left a couple of questions untouched that should have been pursued. We're going to get into that over the next 2 hours. And we're going to get into more of what Bobulinski actually unveiled and what he says he can prove. And, of course, what the government's going to end up doing about it. In reference to debate, of course, we'll take a look at how that debate went down. How do you think it went? Do you think there was a winner one way or the other? It was less contentious than the first time they met. And that was partly due, in fact, because they were doing the muting of the other candidate when one had a clear floor for 2 minutes. And it worked. I think it worked, and that was fine. And actually, Trump looked much better and responded better. The attitude, however, from some of those on the mainstream media referenced Trump and any remarks or questions he raised about Hunter Biden. NBC News anchor Chuck Todd said, well, I think when he started talking about those things, I thought he was speaking the language of Fox prime time. If you watch Fox, you understood what he's saying. If you don't, you don't have any idea. You know why you don't have any idea? Do you know why anyone watching, if they weren't aware of the stories Fox has been doing on Bobulinski and other sources and the Hunter emails and other issues, do you know why? Because the mainstream media hasn't been covering it for their audience. They've been ignoring it, turning it away, trying to walk away from it. Well, we are not going to walk away. We're going to get into it in great detail. John LaBoutière, former U.S. congressman in New York, will be joining us with his view of the debate and the revelations on the Biden-Hunter tapes. And also, Dr. Gerard Romero will join us before we're done over the next 2 hours. Again, his thoughts on the debate and how this Hunter Biden scandal will or will not affect the electorate. We have a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. I will tell you again, make sure, please, that your friends and even family are listening. You don't want to miss today's program. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You were getting a lot of money from Russia. They were paying you a lot of money, and they probably still are. But now, with what came out today, it's even worse. All of the emails, the horrible emails of the kind of money that you were raking in, you and your family. And Joe, you were vice president when some of this was happening, and it should have never happened.
As I said yesterday, I was hoping that this would become a big issue last night. And indeed, it was. And not just from Trump bringing it in, but also the moderator. We're going to get into it in more detail. But Trump going right into it, saying you were getting a lot of money. Now, that set the stage. That clearly says that you were VP and you were getting money, if not given to you directly at that point, suggesting it's being put aside for you when you got out of the office of presidency, White House, vice president anyway. And Trump says it needs to be fully investigated. Joe Biden had a denial, and in fairness, let's hear how he responded to those charges.
I have not taken a penny from any foreign source ever in my life. We learned that this president paid 50 times the tax in China, has a secret bank account with China, does business in China, and in fact is talking about me taking money. I have not taken a single penny from any country whatsoever, ever.
Let's break down that remark by Joe Biden. When he's talking about that Trump has business in China, well, he does. He's had business there. Ivanka Trump also does business with China, as do other countries as well, and other folks, I should say. But during his presidency, of course, all that's been put in a trust at this point. That's the way it's always done for any president or vice president, any major political candidate. All their activities are put into trust, held by others, and they can't touch it, can't deal with it, and shouldn't have anything to direct it one way or the other. The other point Joe Biden was talking about, that this new story that suddenly surfaced, that Trump has a hidden bank account in China. Let me ask you this. Consider the timing. This story has suddenly surfaced, like the fin of a shark just beginning to break the surface of the water. And you're thinking, whoa, what is that? What could be under that fin? It could be a great white, or maybe it's a porpoise. It's not a shark fin after all. But here's what is going on. Only after the New York Post last week broke the story about the Hunter Biden emails and what they were documenting. And, of course, last night, as we said, the Biden insider, Tony Bobulinski, held a news conference, laid everything out for reporters, gave them copies of details and emails as well on his end, confirming what's already been documented or stated, I should say, from the computer belonging to Hunter Biden and those emails. So against that backdrop, suddenly this story surfaces about Trump has an illegal bank account, hidden bank account in China. Do you not think, if the Biden team had known about that hidden bank account, they would have brought it up long before now? Do you not think they would have been hammering him with it for the last 2-4 weeks or more? Why now? Well, because it's a defense mechanism. That's all it is. Get on defense and then try to act like we're playing offense. And when it came down to Biden's response last night, dealing with he had not taken any money, had not made any money, Karl Rove, analyst, of course, who's now with Fox News, Karl Rove, of course, previously serving as a senior advisor to the George W. Bush administration, said Biden missed the point of what he needed to be saying. Just listen to Karl Rove.
I don't know why Biden keeps doing this, but he said, I never took any money from foreign countries. Well, no one's accusing him of taking foreign money. They're accusing his son of taking money. And rather than saying, you know what, I hear you about Burisma, and I should have said something, and when I'm president, Hunter's not going to do stuff like that anymore. The American people would say, you know what, he knows it was a mistake. Instead, he dug himself deeper by saying Hunter did nothing wrong.
Now, you should also know that the mainstream media, like CNN and others, and how they treated the debate, they obviously say Biden was the winner. That once again, Trump was spewing lies left and right. They don't dispute anything Biden said. They don't challenge anything he said. They don't say this needs fact-checking. Karl Rove mentioned something that would easily be documented, and many folks around the nation know it firsthand. At one point, Biden had said, no one lost any insurance under Obamacare. No one got anything with it. No one lost anything. Karl Rove said, I immediately got an email from a doctor in Rockford, Illinois, who said, my wife did and I did. We lost our coverage. And you know there are many others out there that once Obamacare came in, they lost coverage. That has been documented over and over again. Do you think the mainstream media would put that out and say, here's Biden with a falsehood, a false statement? No. I looked at a CNN lead on one of their pages earlier, and they did have an interesting lead. Everyone came expecting a brawl, but a debate broke out. Yeah, it was more of a debate last night than a fisticuff as we had the previous time. But then they also said, but it all began as Trump opened his mouth and began to spew lies. You're entitled to say that. But I'm also going to point out the hypocrisy of how many times Biden said things wrong, incorrect, and they don't challenge. They're never going to admit the guy can slip up. Never. And part of it gets into this, what he had to say about energy and how he again keeps waltzing around. I'm not against fracking. I'm for fracking. He doesn't know because he's waiting to see what direction he's told to go. And then you look at what Biden is now proposing of everything that he would do, the things he would do now if he were in office, and what he would take care of, and how things would be resolved. Trump has the easiest answer built in automatically. And it should work for anyone who wants to insist that Joe Biden knows what he's doing and can do a better job. He was in office 8 years with Obama. What did the two of them do on some of these very points? Not much of anything. And Trump honed in on that last night.
No one should be going to jail because they have a drug problem. They should be going to rehabilitation, not to jail. We should fundamentally change the system, and that's what I'm going to do.
But why didn't he do it 4 years ago? Why didn't you do that 4 years ago, even less than that? Why didn't you?
I am
you were
not
vice president. You keep talking about all these things you're going to do, and you're going to do this. But you were there just a short time ago, and you guys did nothing.
We did.
You know, Joe, I ran because of you. I ran because of Barack Obama, because you did a poor job. If I thought you did a good job, I would have never run. I ran because of you. I'm looking at you now. You're a politician. I ran because of you.
And you know what? He not only ran because of Biden, Obama, and Hillary. He won. He won because of that very point. Oh, and I know, I hear some of you saying, well, no, he did not win the popular vote. Hillary won. Hillary won if that's an actual, correct, legitimate popular vote, as popular vote would go. But the Constitution says the Electoral College, and that's to keep major blue states and blue strongholds from dominating and making the Midwest votes and rural votes useless. It's to bring balance. That is exactly why in the Senate, every state gets two senators. When you get to the House of Representatives, that's where you break it out on your census and your population. Trump is right. He ran because of what they were doing, and he won because of what they were doing. Well, Biden says here's the issue that really should be on the ballot. This is his, in his mind, this is the key issue for you voters this time around.
You know who I am. You know who he is. You know his character. You know my character. You know our reputations for honor and telling the truth. I am anxious to have this race. I am anxious to see this take place. I am. The character of the country is on the ballot. Our character is on the ballot. Look at us closely.
Now, if we're going to talk about character, yeah, there are allegations against Trump. We know that. And as I said, I did not elect a pastor. I was electing a leader of the country. But Joe Biden claims I'm of good character, no questions at all about me. And yet his running mate, his current running mate, Kamala Harris, when numerous women were making allegations against Biden inappropriately touching them, from sniffing their hair to putting his hands on them, and children as well, Kamala Harris said, I believe the women. I guess now she's bought the fact that Joe's character is so solid that the women lied. No, Harris has bought Joe's story right now only to get on the ticket. And again, I remind you, she's not on the ticket to be VP. She's there to be president. As we discussed yesterday, if, and do not let this happen, but if Biden and Harris end up being elected, within months, if not weeks, maybe days, Nancy Pelosi and the rest will come together on the 25th Amendment to remove Joe Biden as being incapable. And Kamala Harris, the VP, would have to sign off on it. And you know she would. Because if he's gone, she becomes president. Overnight, almost. So I want to remind you, you're not just voting on character of Joe Biden, for whatever you want to classify it. You're voting on the character of Kamala Harris. And we know about her character. And, of course, there's no way you're going to get around any kind of issue and question with Trump if you don't raise a race question. And here it came from the moderator last night to Donald Trump.
What do you say to Americans who say that kind of language from a president is contributing to a climate of hate and racial strife?
Well, you have to understand, the first time I ever heard of Black Lives Matter, they were chanting pigs in a blanket, talking about police. Pigs, talking about our police. Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. I said, that's a horrible thing. And they were marching down the street. And that was my first glimpse of Black Lives Matter. I thought it was a terrible thing. As far as my relationships with all people, I think I have great relationships with all people. I am the least racist person in this room.
And if you're going to look at race as a dividing factor for Trump and Biden, last time around, Trump got 8% of the black vote. They're predicting 20% or better this time around. Latino vote we talked about yesterday, a third of the Latinos will vote for him, and he polled higher than they expected last time. But, of course, that's that card. That is the card that they want to always bring out and use. And Joe Biden is leading the charge as well. He can pull that race card out and flash it just as fast as anyone else.
He pours fuel on every single racist fire, every single one. Started off his campaign coming down the escalator saying he's going to get rid of those Mexican rapists. He's banned Muslims because they're Muslims. He has moved around and made everything worse across the board. He says to about the poor boys, last time we were on stage here, he said, I told him to stand down and stand ready. Come on. This guy is a dog whistle about as big as a foghorn.
Come on, Joe. You also, they're not the poor boys, they're proud boys. And on top of that, your remark about Trump banning Muslims, he never banned Muslims. He banned from certain countries, which are Muslim, but not all Muslim countries. And then we've got the whistleblower. He's still in the wings. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
One, two, three, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
During these negotiations, I repeated to Hunter and others that Sinohawk could not be Hunter's personal piggy bank. And I demanded that proper corporate governance procedures be implemented for capital distributions. Hunter became very upset with me. CSC through July 2017 was assuring me the funds would be transferred to Sinohawk, but they were never sent to our company. Instead, I found out from Senator Johnson's September report that the $5 million was sent in August 2017 to entities affiliated with Hunter.
Those are the words of the Hunter Biden business associate, the insider, Tony Bobulinski. Those are the words he told the news media yesterday evening ahead of the debate. He oversaw, he's CEO of a company, and he was supposed to get funds direct to his company. Never got them. Hunter said, no, you'll get them. They'll come to you. And Bobulinski says, now I know, after hearing from Senator Johnson of the Homeland Security Committee, the money went to various entities controlled by Hunter Biden. This story has what we say in the business, legs. It means it can run and go a long, long time. I remember when the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky story broke. And the timing of it. On the day that that story broke, all the major network anchors were in Cuba, because the Pope was making an historic first visit to Cuba. First time the pontiff had ever gone to Cuba. So all the major networks sent their anchors down there. They had all their teams. They were going to anchor their entire newscast from Cuba. That was going to be the overreaching story for the entire week. And yet that same day, that Monday morning, the story broke in Drudge about this dress and what was on the dress, and Monica Lewinsky's claim. My news director at the TV station at the time, he still insisted we lead with the story about Cuba. I said, no, we don't. We lead with this story about the dress and this sexual allegation involving the president of the United States. I said, it's historic. He said, well, so it's historic, the Pontiff going to Cuba. I said, yes, but not. It does not have the legs that this Clinton-Malinsky story, Monica Lewinsky story, will have. That will be here for a long time, numerous repercussions. No, no, no. Well, they set it up that night for me to lead and start talking about Cuba. But before I did, I said, first this. So I ad-libbed it. He got ticked off. I could care less. I did what was right. And you know what happened the next day? Well, first of all, that day, all the anchors, as they started their newscast, said, we're here in Cuba to cover the Pope, but first to New York for this story. And they reported on the dress. And that overnight, all of those news anchors went back to their headquarters, New York or D.C., to start reporting on that. The Pope was given to other reporters. No, this story, Bobulinski, and what he's unveiling, the Hunter emails, it's going to go and play long past the election. But I'm glad we have it now. John LaBoutier, former U.S. Congressman from New York, with his view on the election and this particular story and the scandal. You don't want to miss it. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
When I was three, drove 100,000 miles on my knees. Hauled marbles and rocks and thought twice before. I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Always glad to welcome my next guest, although I know he irritates some of your listeners, but that's okay. It makes for a good, engaging discussion. Discussion's a nice word, I think. John LaBoutier, former U.S. Congressman from New York, author of Harvard Hates America. He's a Reaganite, and he is not a Trumper. Welcome aboard again, John.
Good morning, Larry. Great to hear your wonderful voice.
Well, thank you. I'm doing well. So I've got a lot of things I want to break down on the debate and the other things, reference to Hunter Biden emails and things of this nature. But first of all, let me get your overall thought on how the debate went compared to the actual last time they were face-to-face, that first train wreck.
Well, that was it. It was a train wreck, especially for Trump. And the polling showed it for him afterwards. And not so last night. Last night was a normal debate for most political things, in that they didn't hurt each other, they didn't hurt themselves, they kept their own votes. No one left Biden or Trump last night because of what they saw. I don't know that either one picked up any more votes. I'm not sure there are any to pick up anyway.
That's a good question. Who would not be decided at this point?
An idiot.
Yeah. Go ahead. Well, let's address the idiots for a minute. Go ahead.
No, I just think it. I think there are low information voters who can still sort of change their mind, who don't really care, have an opinion. But that's not many people. And clearly what we're seeing on the news every day, this massive turnout in person for early voting and mail-in ballots. The interest in this election is hyper. It's way big. And therefore, I think people have made up their minds. I think, by the way, in the future, we've got to adjust when we do these debates. The debates are too late. They need to be before the early voting begins.
Well, I hear what you're saying. You're right, because millions of votes have already been cast, and millions more will be cast before the actual election day.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, what's the point of – I mean, you would think you'd want all the voters to see the debates – and the two candidates, or three someday they might be, to be able to judge them before they vote. And here we actually had some people voting before the September 29 debate,
right,
the train wreck debate. I just think they need to move the debates back.
But to that extent, though, I mean, when you also get down to it, are the debates valuable? There was a time maybe they held more value. Probably one of the more clear debates would have been like with JFK and Nixon, you know, that folks decided on watching his Nixon's demeanor on air that he would not be capable of doing anything more. But other than that, do the debates really do anything, regardless if they're held way before the vote starts or not?
Don't know. I know that, by the way, the Nixon-Kennedy debate, I mean, that race, that election was razor thin.
Right.
In that case, anything that's razor thin, everything's a factor, including the debates. And you have to always assume, because presidential campaigns are historically close. Rarely does an incumbent president get blown out. Now, we've seen two blowouts in our recent lifetime of sitting presidents. Jimmy Carter was annihilated in 1980 by Reagan, and George H.W. Bush,
right,
in that three-way race with Perot and Clinton, he only got 37% of the vote as an incumbent president. But normally, they're pretty close.
So let's
Obama won two races, but they were fairly, you know, they were close.
Okay, and everybody's looking at this again being tight, as it was with Trump and Hillary on the popular vote, and then the Electoral College not so tight. But the issues last night, one of the issues that certainly everybody's waiting to see how it would be handled by both Trump and Biden, the Hunter email story broken by your New York Post the other day, and basically still ignored. Even NPR said, well, we don't really consider it a story, and we'll take federal dollars and we'll decide that's not really a story. Mainstream media won't report on it. Chuck Todd of CNBC, whatever, last night said something that if anyone listening to Trump understood what he's talking about, we said these emails, and they're only Fox watchers. And I would agree, because the mainstream media hasn't been reporting on it at all.
Right. Well, but there are questions about it.
You still report on it.
Well, no.
Yes, you do. There were questions about the Monica Lewinsky dress. There were questions about Trump and Russian collusion. There was no proof, but they still reported on it at the time.
By the way, let's remember about the Monica Lewinsky dress. Newsweek spiked the story. They did not report
That's right.
It was Matt Drudge.
That's right. And I pointed that out before you joined us. That's correct.
Yeah.
But just because you say it's not a story, if it's out there, it's a story. And then you become the story of covering up the story.
Right. First of all, I'm not saying it's not a story. I am saying that the reason the mainstream media is not covering it is the provenance of the story. It arrived from Rudy Giuliani.
John, wait a minute.
Can I finish?
I want to stop you there. Okay. Because I know it went to Giuliani, and we know when it, but bottom line is you saw Bobulinski last night, one of the insiders, make his statements, and the email, and at no point has Biden and the Biden team denied the computers is his and the emails. That's a story.
I'm not getting in. Look, it may be. I'm just saying the reason they're not covering it is
because it hurts Biden.
It was given to Fox News first, and they wouldn't cover it. So then they give it to the New York Post, and the guy that wrote the story refused to have his name attached to the story because he has doubts about the story. And they put a woman's byline on it who didn't write it. And so
I've heard that, but I haven't seen documentation on it. But the bottom line is, there are numerous times in my career I've run a story and said, we don't have this locked down. This is what we know now, and it certainly could change. And that's standard journalistic approach on stories. And if it is damning to Trump, they will run it. They won't ask a second question about it.
I don't know. Whatever. This story is not going to take down Joe Biden in the last 11 days of this campaign. And I think that's what Trump wants it to do. It's too late. It's too little. He tried for a year and a half to get the Ukrainian government to do the same thing, which is launch an investigation into Joe Biden so that he, Donald Trump, could say, aha, he's under investigation like Hillary was. But it didn't work.
And how did it work for the Democrats saying Trump's under investigation and could be impeached because of that investigation that had nothing?
Fine, but I'm just saying, if you're trying to win the election with 12 days to go last night, you spend valuable time talking about stuff that most people in America don't know what the heck you're talking
about. Because they're not hearing it from the mainstream
media.
Well,
that may be, but
that's a big maybe. That's a big maybe, John. If you're not reporting it, they don't know it.
Larry, they don't care about it. Okay, it's not Joe Biden. It's his son. His son's a bit of a loser. Everybody who knows it knows it. The issue is COVID, the spiking infections, the economy, the school reopening. That's the issue in this campaign.
Well, let's deal with that. Joe Biden has said that, yeah, if he gets in, we're going to have a national mask mandate. Do you want federal government telling you to wear? You have to wear a mask, or you'll be arrested. You'll be in violation of federal law.
Well, I don't think he did say once.
He has said it.
He wear the mask.
No. He said it. He said it again on a Wisconsin TV interview the other day. It's all about.
Fine. By the way, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, we have mandates in this country. You can't drive a car without having auto insurance. You can't start a car legally without doing the seatbelt up. These are mandates. Is it really killing? You can't get on an airplane without going through the TSA checkpoint. All these things, people said, oh, it's an infringement on my rights. Yeah, it is. But, hey, we're all together on this thing. We don't want to be hijacked. We don't want to be run over by an uninsured driver.
So let me ask this.
And we don't want to get the virus. So put the mask on when you're around other people.
So what do you think about everyone on the left blaming Trump for all 200,000 deaths and more? They won't even agree to, well, can you at least attribute 20,000, I'm sad as it is, at least 20,000 of New York State to Cuomo's order to go into nursing homes that COVID patients had to be kept there, even though they're positive? They want to blame all the deaths on Trump. Does that sound anything like not just fact, but possible?
You mean to blame it all on him?
Yeah, to blame all of the deaths on
him. It's not, they shouldn't do it. It's ridiculous. And it's, but listen, he is the president. This thing happened on his watch. Now, the question is, could he have done a better job? Now, I think he would have gone up in the polls after last night. If he'd come on there and he said, look, I've looked back at night, I sit around, I think about this past year, and if I could have done it over again, I would have done it differently. But this thing was so new, and none of us really knew what was going on.
That's a point.
And now
none
I've adjusted
us, yeah.
myself, right. And I think we've got this thing going in the right direction. I think most people would say, okay, yeah, I go with that.
All right.
But the difference is he told Bob Woodward, privately on tape, this thing is terrible, and yet he tells the public at the same time, it'll be gone. It's going to go away. 15 people.
Well,
that's
really
hurts.
All right, and I don't have time to cover all that, but we will book you again before the election. We're still
great.
Good, right?
We are good to go
great.
Next week because next week's the last week.
Yes, sir. John, as always, I do appreciate your insight, sir.
Thank you, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Always fun and engaging conversation with John LaBoutière. And meanwhile, Leslie Stahl is coming out saying 60 Minutes that she doesn't like the fact that Trump and Pence are picking on her. Really? You got to hear this when we continue.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So President Trump is in an interview with Leslie Stahl of CBS for 60 Minutes. It's going to air this Sunday. And yet the president released unedited 60 Minutes footage. He said, I'm releasing it to expose, quote, a vicious attempted takeout by Leslie Stahl. He felt that when they went in, it was not anything more than an attack dog. No surprise, but he's calling her out this time. Here's what the president said as he released a 37-minute video that's now on his Facebook page. I didn't have time to deal with it today with everything else going on. But he warned, or rather urged the viewers, look at the bias, the hatred, the rudeness on behalf of 60 Minutes and CBS. And also citing more bias, hatred, and rudeness on 60 Minutes with our great vice president. That was a caption of a 14-minute long video that involved the Pence interview. Her interview with Pence took place after Trump had cut his short early because he got into a heated conversation with her over a number of issues ranging from how he was handling the coronavirus pandemic, social justice issues, supposed anti-media bias, supposed. Does anybody not know there's an anti-media bias out there against Trump? You can't possibly ignore that. Really, come on. But Leslie Stahl went after Pence the same way in the sense she said she didn't like some of his answers. She said, Mr. Vice President, this was not a rally. This is not a campaign speech to the public. This is supposed to be an interview. That's when she's talking about what Trump had put out. And she said, at the same with the president, I feel that both of you have insulted 60 Minutes and me. Leslie Stahl feels insulted. Why? By not answering our questions and giving set campaign speeches. We've heard both of you give at rallies without answering our questions. And Pence responded, Leslie, what question haven't I answered? What question haven't I answered right now? And she cited a question regarding Pence on any comment about Trump's previous remarks about Dr. Fauci. And she said, this is the kind of anticipation people in power are held accountable. They answer questions for the public, not for me, from the public. And I feel you didn't do that. I'm upset. Pence's answer, well, Leslie, I appreciate the speech you just gave. But I answered all your questions. I've spoken about things American people care about. And she said, look at what you're doing it again. You're giving a speech. There's points on both sides. Of course they're going to try to do that. Anytime you're talking to a politician, you have to know you're going to get a pretty much of a canned speech unless you have something totally new they have not rehearsed and thought about previously. And otherwise, you just know they're going to try to go right down that line again. And yeah, as an interviewer, especially if it's live, it's my job to try to hold them to the subject and make sure I get an answer. After a while, if it's live, you got to say, all right, I'm going to move on and deal with something else, which means they won that part of the battle. It's not easy. I'm not trying to say, and of course, Leslie Stahl, I'm not taking anything away from her credentials and her ability, but I find it laughable that she says that she and 60 Minutes and CBS are upset. And what was her word again? It wasn't just upset that they were felt that they had been insulted. Well, I'll tell you this. I'm sure they went in there to insult Trump. I have no doubt about that. Now, reference the debate last night. You know who said that the moderator did a pretty good job? Fox News Channel's Chris Wallace. He moderated the first debate. And he says, I thought it was a good debate. Good, substantive debate. Two very competing visions. He said, I was struck by the emails the president obviously going to bring up. He did bring it up. I thought Biden was very successful in countering it by immediately throwing the president on defense about his China bank account. What China bank account? They have suddenly come up and said he has a secret China bank account. And I guess Wallace just simply bought into that. He didn't say alleged bank account. His remarks were, Biden immediately threw the president on defense about his China bank account. Do you know about the bank account, Chris Wallace? Do you have the evidence of it? Do you have documentation that it actually exists? And why did it suddenly come from nowhere after the New York Post put out the emails from Hunter's computer? Oh, you want me to say alleged computer? I would say the allegedly owned by Hunter and everything. Let me put it this way. You reach a point where you don't really need alleged unless you just absolutely want to be super, super careful. We reached a point now where we got this Bobulinski out there. We've got the stuff from Senator Johnson of Wisconsin and the Senate Homeland Committee and what they say they have found and seen. But go ahead and just say alleged. But Wallace didn't do that. He just flat accepted that Trump has a secret China bank account. We're going to get into that and the whole Biden email story. I'm talking about the Hunter Biden emails and the denials and where it goes from here and what else could happen. And then also Dr. Gerard Lamero would join us about how the debate and or this issue is going to affect the electorate going forward. And then we've got something that's just absolutely got me angry from the moment I walked in here today. It involves a traditional song of Texas. It involves... They're stepping on blue suede shoes, in my opinion, right now. I'm not going to take it sitting down. Next hour. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.